Okay, good morning, and my name is Edgar Vinson, and I will be talking to you a little bit about the potential for banana production along the Gulf Coast of Alabama. First, we'll talk a little bit about the rationale, why produce bananas in Alabama, followed by the objective, materials and methods, preliminary results, and then followed by conclusions. We think that the Gulf Coast of Alabama is ideal for the production of a niche market for banana production, primarily because of the development of cold-tolerant and short-cycle banana varieties. This increases the adaptability of bananas and causes an expansion of bananas into from the tropical regions into the more variable and extreme environments of the subtropics. Also, because multinational corporations have deemed the Cavendish banana as the market standard banana, that leaves open the opportunity for non-Cavendish banana, a niche market for non-Cavendish bananas. And as you can see, they go for a much higher price than the Cavendish banana, and they're known to have a better flavor. Also, we think that the environment along the Gulf Coast is conducive for growth of banana. As you can see in this graph that I adopted from the Banana and Plantain book by J.C. Robinson and Victor Galanzaco, 2010, this, you could look at the long-term monthly maximum and minimum temperatures for the Gulf Coast. And the two bold lines are the cardinal temperatures, the cardinal temperature range for banana production. As you can see, the minimum and maximum temperatures fall within this range 7 months out of the year. Also, there is some production of bananas in Savannah, Georgia, where the hardiness zone is zone 8B. We are also in the hardiness zone 8B. Contrast this to production in Hawaii, which has a hardiness zone of 11. Although bananas have wide adaptability, they do respond acutely to their environments, and this will be manifested as slow growth, delayed fruit production, and reduced quality of fruit and ornamental appeal. Therefore, in the subtropics, phenological studies become paramount. So the objective of this study was to assess phenotypical and morphological responses of selected short-cycle, cold-tolerant banana cultivars to environmental conditions of coastal Alabama to explore the potential for fruit production. So in this study that was established on June 6th in 2013, we planted Cavendish and non-Cavendish cultivars, and we divided them up in terms of vigor or in terms of plant height, and we had dwarf, medium, and tall cultivars. Today I'll be discussing just the medium-sized cultivars. They were planted at a spacing of 8 feet between a row, eight feet within a row, 8 and 10 feet between rows, and 6 genomic groups were represented. Data ANOVA was performed on all responses using PROC-LEMIX. Data were analyzed separately for each cultivar and size group, and the experimental design was a completely randomized design with factorial arrangement of cultivar and days from planting for 2013 and days from mature leaf in 2014. Non-normal counts were analyzed using Poisson or negative binomial distribution, and differences among cultivars were determined using Schaefer simulated method. The list of phenological and morphological parameters that we looked at are as follows. We have total leaf number. These are all important for banana production phenological studies. Total leaf number. Plants, the mechanism behind flowering in bananas is unknown. They tend to flower randomly without respect to temperature or light. But it is known that bananas flower after the production of 37 to 50 leaves. This can be as low as 25 leaves or as high as 60 leaves, according to the literature. Next is leaf emergence rate. In the tropics, 8 to 12 leaves per month are expected. In the subtropics, 4 leaves per month are expected. Also, the number of leaves present on a plant or the number of standing leaves at any particular time, at any point in time. This is especially critical during after bunch formation, because a minimum of 4 leaves is required for the maturation of a bunch. Also, leaf area index, or the amount of light that a plant can intercept. Also, the height circumference ratio, which is an indicator or an index of the strength of the pseudostem and its ability to withstand high winds and heavy crop load. Also, days from planting, days from flowering or planting to emergence, flower emergence. These are our temperatures from the beginning of the season in 2013 to the end of the season in 2014, and they look relatively harmless, the temperatures, but actually here in December and in January, we had temperatures that were as low as an absolute temperature, a low of 14 degrees Fahrenheit, which is completely devastating to the banana field as well as several other crops, including Satsuma mandarin that we have in the Gulf Coast. And this was a question of pseudostem survivability, and it's necessary with bananas that have a slightly longer season, this is necessary that the pseudostem survive a winter. And in our case, the temperatures, they were not able to overcome the temperature, so we had no survivability in the parent crop and no true yield data. This is a table just showing you the interactions. There was an interaction between cultivar and days from planting in 2013 and days from mature leaf in 2014, and with most variables, with the exception of height circumference ratio in both years and leaf emergence rate in 2013. Leaf emergence rate, it tends to follow temperature, it increases with increasing temperature, and we had a maximum at 95 days, and thereafter the leaf emergence rate fell precipitously after that in response to the cooling temperatures. The pseudostem height circumference ratio, as I said, was an indicator of plant, the strength of the pseudostem. And you can see that Goldfinger, in this case, the lower number is best. So in this case, we have Goldfinger as significantly lower height to circumference ratio, and among the lowest in both in 2014. Rajapuri, in contrast, had among the highest in both seasons, as well as Cardava. With number of standing leaves or number of leaves present by the end of the season in both during both seasons, we see that there was no difference in 2014, but in 2013 we had a few differences, with Rajapuri having the least amount of leaves at any particular time. And as you can see, Vente Kohol is just a spot there in 2014. That's because only a single plant survived the cold weather of 2013 and early 2014. And total leaf number, as you can see that the total leaf number for all of the cultivars were within range of signifying leaf or flower emergence for, every year, with the exception of Rajapuri in 2014. And leaf area index increased steadily until day 125 in 2013, and fell thereafter. And this reduction was in response to colder temperatures, reduced LER, or leaf emergence rate, and also increased leaf senescence. Okay, and we also had. As I said, we had very little or no real yield data. However, we were able to determine the number of days until flowering for two cultivars, Goldfinger and Cardava, were the only two to flower in our study among the medium banana. And Cordova at 197, significantly lower than Goldfinger at 238 days. So in conclusion, Cordova and Ice Cream, in terms of height and circumference, and LAI were the most vigorous. However, the tallest pseudostems don't necessarily mean the most ideal. We have various management issues with tall pseudostems. And they also tend to have high HCR ratios, which make them more vulnerable to high winds and heavy crop loads. Also, Goldfinger produced the lowest pseudostem height to circumference ratio. Roger Puri and Venti Coho were probably the two least adapted for our area. Roger Puri had the lowest total number of leaves produced and the lowest number of leaves present at any particular time, which more or less relegates it more to ornamental production. Venti Coho, there is, I think, some possibility for that cultivar. There is a question of survivability, but in some areas in the subtropics, there is a yearly planting of bananas, and this may be more suited for that. And so I'd like to thank my committee members, the Gulf Coast Research and Extension Center in Fairhope, Alabama, our director, Malcolm Pegues, associate director, Jared Jones, and horticultural specialist, Brian Wilkins, and our graduate students, Andre Swantek and Gabriela Hernandez, and Dr. J. Raymond Kessler for statistical analysis. I'd also like to thank the Alabama Fruit and Nut and Vegetable Industries and the Alabama Agricultural Experiment Station. So that, are there any questions? Yes.
Yeah, I have a question. I live in southern Louisiana. I grow ice cream. This is in my backyard, but I mulch heavily, and I've never had plants that have survived the same temperatures. Did you mulch the fields at all? Because I find if I put a thick mulch, that they'll actually come back fairly quickly in
yeah.
the spring.
Yeah. The question is, did we mulch any in this study? And no, we did not. We did not mulch this the previous 2 years. We are thinking about doing that this year. We wanted to see. We wanted to go in bare minimum and just see how much we could, how few inputs we could have for this study. Any other questions? All right, well, thank you.